for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Crum?
Here.
Hellwinger?
Here.
Fries?
Here.
Kozlowski? McKenzie?
Yes.
McCann?
Yes.
Meter? Needhammer?
Here.
St. Dennis?
Here.
Okay, we have a consent agenda tonight for the approval of the minutes from the November 19th, 2012 Planning Commission meeting. And we got a second, motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any citizens present to talk about non-agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on to number five, reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. There are none. Item six, unfinished business, Kirtland Products follow-up.
As you may recall, at the last meeting, the Planning Commission gave direction to Kirtland Products to prepare a proposal to bring back to this meeting. We did receive about noon today a packet from Kirtland Products, which I forwarded to you. And I also printed hard copies of that at the desks. Kirtland Products is here, and perhaps they can explain the proposals and what they requested.
Thank you. Once again, Joe Quant, I'm counsel for Kirtland, and my office is in Traverse City. We apologize for the lateness of the delivery of the report. A lot of the information, you can tell, was delivered to us on Friday, so as a matter of fact, some of it after the close of business on Friday. So without the cost estimates and the schedules from our contractors, we weren't able to produce that until mid-morning this morning. Nonetheless, the direction of the Planning Commission at the last meeting was for Kirtland to suggest a proposal, and Kirtland has come back essentially with three different proposals, which we've presented in the documents that you have in front of you. I think that actually Tom might be in a better position to explain some of the aspects of those proposals, so I'll just turn it over to Tom.
Thank you. Tom Mommy, President of Kirtland Products. At the last meeting, I already see an error. I put November 17th and it was November 19th. So I apologize for that. Wanted to make sure that we understood what the commission asked of us, because there was no motion directing us to do something. And so I've made notes down below of some of the comments that people made, which we believed to be that we come up with a reasonable standard on the C scale in order to amend our conditional use permit. And so proposal one is that we've talked to two sound engineering firms. The first one is Colano and Saha Engineering in Waterford, and the other one was Soundscape Engineering in Chicago, Illinois, and we've got their proposals attached as Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 2. We believe that Proposal 3 would be the most appropriate proposal, but we're going to offer all three of them and have discussion and decide what the Planning Commission thinks is the best path forward, and we'll take any one of those paths. But the first one is to hire a sound engineering firm to evaluate community noise and come up on a C scale basis with a reasonable standard that we could apply to our conditional use permit. The pros of that proposal are the sound evaluation study could be done quickly, relatively quickly. The city would have a DVC standard to address low frequency noise issues, and the standard could be easily enforceable by the city. It takes standard, which to measure on the C scale. Most meters measure on the C scale, and it would provide that. The cons are Kalano and Saha, RSG and Soundscape, they don't recommend using a DBC scale standard. They do, Soundscape does speak in the project description on page one a little bit about why they don't feel that a C scale standard is as appropriate of a standard to be used. And basically, if the study does find that mitigation of equipment is necessary, mitigation work would extend the timeline to an unspecified time period, because we'd have to do the study first, determine what a reasonable standard is, and then look at designing and mitigating whatever equipment was required. The other con is that the study may show that a reasonable standard would conclude that nothing further would need to be done. And if you look at exhibits 4, 5, and 6, it shows why that is. So if we could go to exhibits 4, 5, and 6. And when I was here last month, I kind of showed you our production records that indicated that we weren't running during some of the sound analysis that was being done by the city of Traverse City. This is a KBA analysis report from Great Lakes Energy that we see every month. And it shows the KBA that was being produced by the plant at the time, at the times stated.
Yeah.
What
is KBA?
Kilovolt amperes.
Yeah. It's how we get charged for electricity. That much I know. The higher the KBA, the more we get charged. So the Exhibit 4 shows a typical day when Kirtland is not running and Arte is running. And so we run from, Arte runs from 6:30 until 2:30. And you can see where we go from in the 30s on the KBA up to 170, 150, and that's Kirtland operating. And then when they shut down, it goes back down into the 30s. Now, Exhibit 5 shows our KVA. So when Kirtland is in full operation, we typically run between 1550 and 1600 KVA. And you can see that during the times on the 8th, which was when Officer Maxson was here. And then I've identified the map locations across in the columns, and it shows the A scale followed by the C scale in each one of those map locations that readings were taken. And so if you look at the first readings were in the 1900 hour, which is between 6 and 7 o'clock, and the map location, which is our property line, was 66 and 81, and then it goes into the residential areas and has the readings on what the levels were while we were running. Then in the 11 o'clock or 10 to 11 o'clock hour, there was additional readings that were taken at five locations, and it shows those, and you can see that we were clearly running also. Interesting is that between the 4 and 5 o'clock hour, we were only at 178 KVA, which means the plant was shut down. And if you look at readings, especially in the C scale, you'll see that there's very little difference in the C scale readings that were taken when we were at 178 KVA versus the 1600 KVA. And in one case, on location 8, we were actually, the noise levels on the C scale were 2 decibels higher when we weren't running than when we were running in the 2300 hour. Also interesting to note is that between the 5 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour, which in both cases we weren't running. The only difference from 178 to 300 is RT started up again. And there's a significant drop from the 6 o'clock hour, or the 5 o'clock hour, to the 7 o'clock hour, of somewhere to the neighborhood of 6 to 8 decibels. So something changed from the 5 o'clock hour to the 7 o'clock hour, but in both cases, Kirtland wasn't running. And also, the last reading that was taken at our property line, it was 62 and 77, and you can see that there was only 400 kVA being consumed at the plant at that time, and there's some pretty high readings from our property line. So Exhibit 6 shows which locations those numbers represent, and it somewhat indicates that the noise levels produced by Kirtland are not any louder than noises that are produced elsewhere in the community when we're not running. Interesting to note, too, was there was a comment in the last meeting that at 6 o'clock when Officer Maxson was in the driveway of location 13, you could hear noise inside the house, which at that time we were not running. So that's interesting. And so in both Proposal 1 and Proposal 2, the objective would be to do a more thorough analysis of community sound by hiring engineers to verify what sound levels are in the community when businesses are running and aren't running, and to try to develop a reasonable standard that could be applied to our conditional use permit. Proposal 2 is basically the same thing as Proposal 1, but we also talked with RSG, and all three of those firms suggested if you're going to do a sound study that you really ought to use the octave band scale and not use the C scale, because it'd be more definitive in identifying what noise levels were being emitted from different operations. They said that you can actually, if you do the octave band scale measurements, you can actually model and figure out what the C scale would be, but that they suggest that we would use the octave band because it's more precise and it would give you a clearer definition of what sound levels were at what octave band under different circumstances. So the pros of that is it might identify what needs to be mitigated, because when RSG was here, they didn't use the C scale. They used either the A scale or they used the octave band scales to identify pieces of equipment that may need to be mitigated. And so if we use the octave band study, it may point to equipment that RSG said needed to be mitigated in order to meet a certain standard. And another pro would be the city would have an octave band standard to address low frequency noise. And the third one is this method was recommended from the three firms that we talked with. The cons of that proposal are you need specialized octave band sound measuring equipment in order to do that analysis, and training would be required to use that equipment. Another con is, once again, if the study does find that mitigation of equipment is necessary, mitigation work would extend the timeline to an unspecified time period. And once again, the study may show that a reasonable standard would conclude that nothing further would need to be done by Kirtland Products, and that some in the community may not be satisfied with the end result. And then it has the timing, 3 weeks from the scheduled visit for the study, and mitigation of equipment would be, it's unknown now because it depends on what the results of the study show. Proposal three is one where we take the DBA scale standard of 60 decibels during the day and 55 decibels during the night at receiving residential properties to apply that against the amended conditional use permit. That's 5 decibels less than Traverse City's standard. And then in addition to that, that Kirtland just go ahead and take that RSG report, which is Exhibit 7, I believe. And there's 3 pieces of equipment that are, it's on page 30 of the report.
There's a little clearer copy of that.
Yeah.
I can't
remember.
Got 2 pieces of equipment that are highlighted on the 250 hertz at 42 decibels, and 1 that's at 40. Those are the 3 that we would take and mitigate those 3 pieces of equipment, and then that would be the remedy for reducing the noise levels rather than doing a sound study. To determine if it confirms that further mitigation needs to be done or not, rather just go ahead, and we feel that this is the fastest path to moving forward, is to decide on an A scale standard and then fix the 3 pieces of equipment that were the most egregious in the RSG report at the 125 and the 250. Hertz octave bands. So those are our 3 proposals. The pros for proposal 3 would be the standard could be easily enforceable. It would provide that the equipment identified in the RSG report as emitting the most egregious noise on the 125 and 250 hertz octave band scale would be mitigated, and the timeline would be shortened by not having to wait for a study before mitigation would begin. And the cons, once again, are some in the community may not be satisfied with the end result. The timing on that is 4 weeks for design, and that is through Kodiak Group. And installation is 3 weeks from design completion. Now, there is also in the Kodiak exhibit, it didn't highlight, it was highlighted what they were planning on using. And the reason that they're using them, the second page is sound absorption coefficients, is the 703 FRK, which are very good on the 125 and the 250 octave band scales as far as noise absorption on those 2 octave bands. You can see it's higher than any other one on both bands. And then the next page is the fiberglass board, a 100 millimeter 4-inch thick, the second to the bottom. It's not highlighted on yours, but that's because of the 0.99 and the 0.99 almost across the board in the different low frequency octave bands as far as absorption goes. So that's why they've selected those materials, which on the
what is it?
The STC scale?
The sound transmission coefficient, yeah.
Yeah. The concrete walls that RSG recommended were at 45, and these materials would be at 51. So it has more sound absorption than concrete walls do. So that would be their recommendation. So, those are our three proposals. I think each one of them would allow us to move forward to an end in the issue of noise, and it's our hope that the path forward can be agreed to so all parties can finally put the noise issue to rest, which I'm sure we all want to have that. Questions?
I had a question or two. Thing you spoke later about, the 703 FRK, what is FRK?
Talking to the wrong guy.
Okay. Is it two different kinds of noise absorption materials that they would be planning to use, a 703 FRK with those sound absorption coefficients and a fiberglass board, and is this 0.99 also sound the sound absorption coefficient that's essentially the same numbers as
right.
appears in the first sheet, is that correct?
Right. I'm not certain. That's just what they sent me that they said they would recommend.
All right.
And that's about as smart as I am.
Okay, so we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that might be what it is, but...
Yeah.
And STC it says here STC is 51.
Right.
Is that the sound absorption coefficient, STC, or what is
yes.
STC?
Yes, that's what it is. And the 51 is what this system would have versus the 45 that was the recommendation of the RSG on using the concrete.
Okay.
Walls.
All right. So this would be like a wooden structure using enclosing the material, closing the equipment, and we would expect if they use these materials that the sound would be mitigated further than what was in the RSG report.
That's correct.
Is that instead of concrete, or is it like studded walls with this material applied on the walls?
They said they'd have to design it and they'd have to come out and take measurements and they'd give us further room. I didn't get that till after 5 o'clock on Friday.
Okay. I
wasn't able to get further information from them, but I certainly would have further information once we decide which direction we're going. That's a direction.
Presumably it would cost less than $250,000, which is what the concrete walls were sort of projected
at, right? It
would,
yes.
But you don't have any idea what that...
No, until they design it, we don't know what the costs are going to be.
Because they're more than $250,000. So
right.
We don't know.
Well, I'm assuming the way Kodiak works,
yeah,
it
should
be less.
Okay.
That would be my assumption.
Thanks.
The stack testing, we have a preliminary report back from our consultant. We just received that on Friday. We're getting a final report available for the DEQ. We expect to have that later on this week. That'll go to the DEQ. The DEQ will then indicate to us, whether or not there's any adjustments necessary. But there, the preliminary results where there was no VOC emission exceedances. So we're expecting to get some meaningful feedback from the DEQ. And
we received that report on Friday in a draft form, and the way that it works, which I was unaware of, is that once you receive the draft report, then you have a period of time where you can review it And if you have any questions on it or any disputes on it, you can let the Dorenzo know. And then they turn that into a final report with appendices once we've had a chance to review it. And then we submit that to the DEQ, and the DEQ takes 2 or 3 days to do a technical review of the report to determine their satisfaction to the report itself. And so we talked to the DEQ this morning and let them know that we had the draft report. And, they said they didn't want to have anything to do with the draft report. They don't want to see anything until it's a final report. Once you get the final report, then send it to them, and they'll do their technical review. So that's the process that we're in right now.
Talk about landscaping next, and then...
Pardon, Jane? Is that the way you want to do it? How do you want to do it, Jane?
Are you ready, huh?
How do you want to? How do you want? Do you want to do audience first or us first? It doesn't matter.
Okay. Public comment. If there are people present to talk about this item, we're open for public comment right now. With the same limitations as we've had at the last couple of meetings. So, any comments or questions from the audience?
Lisa, we've got 43 and 75. I was wondering, the enclosures they're speaking of, are they just walls with no ceilings? And does the sound emit up and up? Because we all are in a valley, and the sound will carry up. Is that going to prevent that as well? Or is it going to just funnel the sound so it's even more?
No, the enclosures would be fully enclosed.
Fully enclosed.
Yes.
Encompassing all the equipment.
All the equipment that we identified in that
right.
Report.
Because the three pieces.
That's
not,
correct.
Not that whole list.
It has been loud again and constant, especially coming up. I don't know if it's because of the valley and across the river, but at times last week, I know my husband has emailed Scott and Kurt, to the I get home and his voice is completely gone, and of course he'd been outside. Mm-hmm. So just to make note of that, it's still an issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike again. 450 goes in the front. You know, I guess as far as us, as somebody doing it, mentioned as a noise study on our city. I don't think we need that. Before Kirtland came in, we lived there almost 40 years in our house. We were there before the industrial park. Before Kirtland came in, we never heard one sound from the industrial complex. With none. I guess as far as what we have to accept, I guess come out to my house, Scott, at 6 o'clock in the morning and take a test when they're not running, and that's what we want. And that's what we were, that's what you as a planning commission would propose, pretty much. So as far as us doing a noise study on our city to see what we can live with, that makes no sense.
Tim Arger, 701 Allen Street. I agree with Mike. I've been at my house 30 years, and I'm about a mile from the plant. In those 30 years, I've never heard any noise from any business in Boyne City that has ever been troublesome for me or my family until Kirtland started to operate. And I know you're all working very hard. I don't envy you. I'm sure you dread coming to these meetings and having to deal with these issues, but there are still a number of families in this town that are suffering from noise that none of us asked for and shouldn't really have to tolerate. And I know Kirtland has been trying to address this, but it's still an annoying problem. And I don't notice it every week or every night. I don't know if Kirtland is still limited to operating 3 days a week like you originally limited them to, but and a lot depends on the weather. Being winter and we're all inside now, you know, I know it was the middle of last week. I came home one evening at 5 o'clock. As soon as I stepped out of my car, I could clearly hear the sound from the plant, and I could hear it when I walked into my home with all my windows closed. So the noise is still there. It's still visible. It's still evident, and I would hate to see how much worse it's going to be in the summertime or how much worse it's going to be if Kirtland is allowed to start running, you know, 24/7, like I think was originally their intent. So I would encourage you to continue to work diligently on this. I wasn't at the last month's meeting, but I did read the minutes from last month's meeting, especially the comments of Mr. Kane. I think those were all appropriate comments relating back to the original representations that were made by Kirtland to get their special use permit. So we would ask the Planning Commission to continue to be diligent in resolving these issues so that the people in this community don't have to listen to this note.
Any other comments?
Don Nesson on Boyd Street, about half a mile away. Last Wednesday was terrible, all night, really bad. I was downtown and I walked home about 9:30 at night. Went up 75 and just soon I hit East Main, I could start hearing them. And just got louder and louder until I got up to my house. You know, we've been going at this for over a year now. And I'm like Mike, I lived in my house 40 years, no industrial park, nothing, couldn't. When we went in there. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how long before you guys are going to tell them, hey, that's it. You can't run no more until you fix it. Every month they come down here and every month they give you another reason, excuse to run one more month, one more month, one more month. We're going into the second year now and it's been terrible. So what I want to know is when. Are somebody going to say, hey, that's it? We've taken all kinds of readings, they've taken all kinds of tests. Isn't it time we got something done?
There are some of them on Broccoli Street, you're going to see this probably about a half a mile from the plant. That same Wednesday I did hear it, and I also smelled it. It was a very foul smell, and it penetrated through the walls of my house. And it is winter, and my windows are shut, and I still smell it. And so it's not just the sound, it's also the emission of the smell. Whatever kind of wood they're using, sometimes they're using wood that doesn't have that smell, sometimes they are. So I would like that, you know, to be solved too. I don't know if they can, but... Thank
you. Any other comments? Okay, we'll go into board discussion. I guess, sir, do you want to hear the landscape plan or discuss this proposal first? Any suggestions?
Okay, I'd like to go through the proposals first and then see where that takes us.
Yeah, I'd like to stick with this and hear Scott and City Council's advice and Mike Kane's advice and George is an engineer, his advice, so I would like to stay on this topic.
Okay. And I've never seen a decision made by this board or information presented at 4:58 that we were happy with a while down the road. And I really had a problem with. I don't know why, if I don't really care. You know, when you got about 2 minutes to go over a packet like this, I'm sure Mr. Murray wouldn't go into court. Agree with that, he'll prepare it. So I don't, and I agree with Mr. Ness, and I'm going to sit on the, before we get up and say something, but I don't think we're going to be happy if we make any decision on poorly planning, on poor planning. It's pretty hard. We've done it a few times in the past on smaller projects and kind of kicked ourselves afterwards. That's my two cents worth on that subject. I don't have a resignation from Tom. I would like more time than that. But I would like Mr. Nesson over there, how long is this going to go on? And getting the packet when I'm walking in the door is not my idea of being a good planning.
And I guess if we are interested in that third option, like you, I'd like a little more information about maybe not a complete design at this point, but something about what the material is. Yeah. And
yeah, it's a little, it was tough seeing it come so late in the day, but, you know, I mean, I did try to go through it, but it was tough. And I still have some questions. Yeah, maybe I could just zip by those. Refresh my memory a little bit. The equipment that you have in that proposal three that you're proposing to enclose with this enclosure, is that all of the pieces of equipment that RSG called out in their report? That was above
40.
40. That's all of them.
That is the three pieces. There's one is at 40, and the other two are above 40.
And there are no other pieces of equipment that are outside that are that.
Not are according to
the RSG.
The RSG report.
Okay.
On the 125 and the 250 hertz.
Okay. All right. Well, my first feeling is that that's something. I understand you need. Some kind of a limit, and maybe you don't want to have this designed before you have a limit, but it seems to me that this is something that needs to be done, is to proceed with this and, you know, and enclose this material. It's going to certainly help. It's going to, RSG said, it would reduce the sound by the appropriate amount. So why don't we just go ahead and proceed with that and get that done? Now, I'll address the other thing in a minute, but that is some kind of you're looking for a modification to your conditional use permit. Okay. And I looked at the different proposals that the two companies had submitted to you, and I think they're both probably pretty decent. I was surprised to see that they said that they don't think maybe that the C-scale is maybe the best way to go. Maybe it should be an octave band, and that's entirely good. I personally liked the Colano proposal better because, and if I can get it out here, I'll tell you why. It's right here. The reason I liked it better was, first of all, the fellow Colano, who, pardon?
Proposal 2?
Yes.
Yeah, in proposal 2,
yeah,
yes.
Exhibit 2, yeah.
I'm somewhat familiar with this company, mm-hmm. and I think they're very good. You know, the principal investigator, who is going to be Colano himself, mm-hmm. you know, he's a licensed professional engineer in the state of Michigan, whereas it looked like the principal investigator with the other company did not have a PE license in the state of Michigan. but he looked like he had one in Indiana and Illinois, but not Michigan. But the part that I really like more so about the Colano proposal was that if they were going to look, says conduct analysis and measurements to evaluate various noise measuring metrics, including but not limited to A weighting, C minus A criteria, and octave band analysis, and determine which metrics may work to best quantify low and mid frequency noise contributions. And then the other thing they were going to do was to study various metrics and looking and compare to other municipal noise ordinance limits to come up with something that would be fair and reasonable to adopt. You know, and I think that's what we're all looking for, something fair and reasonable. So I sort of like their proposal better than the folks from Chicago. It's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, it seems to me that you folks ought to get moving with, you know, a design and construction of an enclosure for the noisy pieces of equipment. And then, you know, maybe hiring a company that would help come up with something that a metric that we could all live with. It just seemed to me that the Colano proposal was better when I read it. I did have another question or two about your charts back here with the KVA analysis. Mm-hmm. All right. The first page shows KVAs that are sort of in the 170 ballpark, and I assumed that was when you were operating.
That is when Arte Industries was operating. Basically, lights I turned on in the plant.
Well, that's a lot of lights. That, you know, it's 175,000 watts.
No, 175 versus 1,600.
Versus
1,600 is when we're running Kirtland.
But these numbers are just when
that's when
Arte
Kirtland is down and Arte is running.
That's okay. Correct. And when you're running, you're using 1,500 kVA.
1,600, right, yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought that when we got down in here, we were talking about you were shut down and Arte was running and the numbers were 300 to 400 kVA.
Right.
Now, how does that square with this first page, which only has like 150, 170 numbers?
That's because Kirtland lights were on also, because they were unplugging things. Oh. We're trying to get ourselves back up, and they were running the pallet machine, so the air compressor was on, so that they could make pallets while they were waiting for us to get back up and running.
Okay. So, Kirtland, when you're shut down, you're still using 170?
If the lights are off, it probably would be similar to the first page.
That's
that
the
you
35
see
or 40
yeah.
or something.
But we were shut down. Lights were on, we were unplugging things, okay. And we were trying to keep people busy making pallets and stuff like that.
All right, I was just trying to.
So there's some minimal amount of.
Okay,
KVA.
All right. Well, that's all I have right now, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just going through all these proposals. Each one of these was like 6 weeks or more. It doesn't matter which one of these proposals you want to jump on and do something. We got to hold the dam. We got to plug it. And proposal three comes up with we got a proposal here. We can isolate this. We got some insulation we put around it. It might muffle that noise adequately. It may not. I think we got to do something now and not wait 3 weeks for design and 3 weeks for something else. I would, and to get something going. I mean, I hate to have you throw money at this thing, but if that's what it's got to do to get things off and running, I really feel that somebody's going to have to step up and do something. And gentlemen, I'm sympathetic to you, but you've got to do something. And I would, Proposal 3 with 4 inches of insulation, if that's what it takes, and that may just shut it up. I just, I'd like to see it get started. That's where I'm coming from. I don't know if the rest of the people agree with me or not. Maria.
Sure, I'll add that looking at this, you know, if we started with, you know, what was the expectation, I think we were clear with the expectation that we noted it, reiterated it in the meeting minutes from last month, as we had identified September 17th, that the applicant was not in compliance with the conditional use permit based on 4 points. We were very clear about that. The sound produced by the plant exceeds the levels represented to the Planning Commission. That's the first one. The second one, the sound abatement and landscaping, as proposed by Kirkland and approved for conditional use, have not been completed, as all equipment exceeding 40 decibels was not placed inside the building. That's been on the list, those two, since September 17th. So that's been 90 days. That's, to me, that's very clear. That was the expectation that these factors be met to maintain the permit. The third one, landscaping. The fourth one, concerns for public health, safety, welfare, by reason of excessive production of traffic, noise, smoke, odors. Hence, we had the stack test request. So it's been 90 days. We don't have the stack test confirmation. We don't have the equipment exceeding 40 decibels placed inside the building. I think the applicant is working hard to try to address these issues. But this has been 90 days since we noted this. And of course, there was much time before that that it was discussed. At some point, I think we as a commission have to say, have they met the criteria that was presented by them when applying for that permit? And I think the answer is no. And I think they've had a lot of time to address this. For the last two meetings, we've gone to the point of, do we make it final to say they're not in compliance? With the hope that that would, at least my hope, that that would instigate, that would really get things going. The last two meetings, we didn't do that. I didn't do that. Again, with the hope that something would happen without putting it to the attorneys. But at this point, I don't see how I could vote in any other way than to make it final that this, that the applicant is not in compliance with the conditional use permit. And we should make that finding and make it final and then see what happens. And this is just based on what was proposed, what was given to us. Just simply saying, are you doing what you said you would do? And I think the answer is no. And this has been since September that it was clearly identified in the meeting minutes. I think we've been very accommodating. And so that's where I'm kind of sitting right now.
So are you basically saying that maybe a decision that we enforce the conditional use 40 decibel? I mean, that's what
I
think the 2008 proposal. We found him not in compliance, and we took no action. I mean, is that what you're saying? You would propose that?
Not only that, but also the concerns for the public health. I mean, just right from the September 17th meeting minutes on how we found them not in compliance, we conveyed that to give the opportunity to them to address those issues of non-compliance. They haven't been addressed. I would just note those 4 points. Nothing different. Nothing new. And I think our expectation has been, that's been my expectation.
Can we respond to that?
Well, should we talk? I would like to hear other people on the board first.
I guess I'll speak up again. Chris, I agree with you 100%. Each time I come to a meeting, I hope that there's some news to this group of people out here that something has started, something's getting done. And just like I said before, this 6 weeks or 7 more weeks, it's just, I mean, if it was the best proposal going, that just 7 more weeks of people being uncomfortable and upset, I agree we're not in compliance. So I guess, I don't know what we do. It's a hard decision. I mean, I don't relish the thought of being the bad guy, but maybe it's the good guy. I don't know. You're absolutely correct what you said. And I would support what you said.
But making that decision final doesn't necessarily solve the problem any faster than continuing to work with them. Making that decision final just makes it go to court, which, to me, drag out a lot longer. I mean, we've had other court cases, and you know how long those go.
It may not make it go, it may go faster. They want to keep the business running. It's sooner to get it over with and done and on. They want to make money. They want to keep their operation going. I don't blame them. But to make it still a viable operation, they've got to meet certain criteria.
And it's not that nothing has happened in the past 90 days. We were trying a different ordinance. That's why we have the Traverse City folks up here to see if that was a direction we wanted to go in. And before that was why we had an RSG here to try to figure out exactly where the problem was or try to pinpoint it more.
I don't think nothing has happened. I actually complimented the applicant.
You did.
So I think things have been happening. I'm speaking specifically to the points where they're not in compliance. And we have known that for 90 plus days. And we clearly spelled it out. And the applicant is still not in compliance. For that reason, I don't believe we should have this conditional use permit still active. I would make a final that. And again, in all honesty, making it final to hopefully instigate something that things would happen and these would be addressed and then we could move on. And this is, the last 2 months, let's not make it final. Let's see what happens. It's difficult, but I'm hoping this would be the best thing for both parties.
Chair?
Yes.
Chris, I agree with you. I'll back up. Joe, I agree with you that we got this way too late. And you know, the policy is that the packet comes in to Scott a week early so that Scott can do the research and get it out to us. So that's the first thing. I agree with Joe. I agree with Chris, but I also agree with Jane's comments that the process of finding a solution would work better through not making the final, but through working through some mitigation. And with that being said, I'd like to hear from both counsel and their opinion, because I agree with everything that's been said, but I'd like to hear the professional speak.
Well, Tom, from a legal perspective, I hate to tell you, but probably nothing has really changed from your last meeting. And these recent materials, I've read them, but I don't really have a comment on that. I think where we are is where we were last time, and it's really what's before you is like a balancing act. On the one hand, if you make it final, it's in all likelihood heading to court. And if you're weighing that factor, a court may order them to put the equipment indoors, as the conditional use permit said. And the question is, will that alleviate the noise problem or will it not? As opposed to an amended conditional use permit that may address and get at the heart of the problem. So that's why you have this balancing act. I mean, you have to be careful that if you make it final and it heads to court, a court gives you what was in the conditional use permit and says, okay, suppress that noise, put it indoors, or the court may not do anything. So it will be out of your hands is what I'm telling you. It will be in the hands of a court. I can't tell you tonight what that court would do. The court may agree. It's clear in your conditional use permit what they were supposed to do. They're in violation, and order them, again, to put the equipment indoors. It's not going to address the smell. It's not going to address the environmental issues. And you weigh that as, again, against something before you telling you it's in the best interest of the city to work towards this concept of an amended conditional use permit. Is there something out there that tips the scale for you to continue to work with Kirtland to come up with a new plan that will resolve? I understand time has lapsed. I understand it's taken longer, but you still have that scale to balance. So that really hasn't probably changed since the last meeting or the meeting before. I mean, here are some new ideas. My observation is people hadn't heard of the C-scale before we got some consultants in. So we do appear to be learning something. The question is there more out there, and is there a better option for you than making it final? There's no real right or wrong in this. I don't think, you know, from a legal perspective, I can counsel you to tip the scale one way or another. I don't like court any more than anybody else. But I see the problem. I see the need for a resolution. So where's that scale tipping for all of you?
I guess just to try to be responsive to each of the comments, but probably more directly to Mr. Fraza's comment. In November, you asked us for a proposal, and we gave you three. That's what you asked us to come back with, and that's what we've tried to provide. The proposals basically look at whether or not you want the cart or the horse in advance of each other. You know, the first two proposals are looking at, now that you've identified it's a C-scale issue or something within the octave bands of C-scale, that's not something you knew until November, until you had the comments from the City of Traverse City's code enforcement person. So armed with that information, you sent us out and said, go bring us something that helps us understand what the C-scale issue is and how do we evaluate it and what's a reasonable standard for it. That's what we tried to provide you with proposals number one and two, is to conduct that evaluation. It doesn't happen in 2 days. It doesn't happen in 2 weeks. To say, well, gosh, this is just pushing it off for another 6 weeks, that's not really fair. You cannot ask these people to provide this type of information with this type of analysis and ask them to provide it within 2 weeks or 3 weeks, no matter how many angry people show up at these meetings. And I know that there's an innate desire to respond to the community. You know, we hear it, we see it, we feel it. We're also trying to be responsive to it. But having a knee-jerk reaction that, well, it, you know, let's just send this over a cliff now and see what pieces are left at the bottom, you know, frankly, you know, we don't think that that is the appropriate response. Second,
I wouldn't say my comments are knee-jerk reaction in any sense. This has been on the table for a lot, so I really disagree with a lot of your assessment.
Okay, I appreciate that. But if I could continue. First of all, you know, with respect to the conditional land use permit, I would encourage you to take a look at that because it has none of those attributes that you've identified. It doesn't say anything that establishes any of those standards. Yes, there were findings of fact, there were conclusions that were drawn by the Planning Commission in its deliberative process. There's not a single condition that is attached to that permit. That is what a court is going to look like. In my estimation, your counsel obviously may have a different perspective on this. But you identified four things, you know, two of which there's no standard at all, this general health, safety, welfare concern. Well, no one has identified exactly what the limits are, what objective criteria is going to be established for that basis. And that's what we're looking for in proposals number one and two, is that objective criteria. Okay. Second of all, you talked about the stack test issues. Well, those are things that I'm, you know, once again, you know, Mr. Murray may disagree with me, but frankly, Part 55, the Natural Resources and Environmental Protection Act, says that you have no jurisdiction in that area whatsoever. You know, that is something that is exclusively reserved to the Department of Environmental Quality. Once again, you'll need to get, you know, counsel's, a reference and recommendation with respect to that. Equipment being over 40 decibels not being in the building. The equipment that was identified as likely being over 40 decibels was put inside the building. So to have this sweeping generalization that, well, they promised that all equipment over 40 decibels would not be outside the plant is not accurate. If you go back and you look at the findings of fact within the proposal that was made in the application, we talked about what equipment was likely to emit the largest noise concentrations, and that equipment is inside the building. Okay. Now, we're not saying that it meets 40 decibels. We're saying that we're working on that aspect of it, but that if you take a hard look at what was promised to be inside the building, it is inside the building. And then the landscape issues, you know, I guess we'll eventually talk about that. You know, there is a landscape plan. It is intended to be implemented. Quite frankly, most of the consultants tell us that that will not have any meaningful impact on the noise issues. Now, we've talked about the fact that Proposal 3 is to try to provide immediate relief. You know, get an enclosure around it, get an enclosure that appears to be appropriate for the type of equipment and the type of sound that's being emitted, and the company is willing to make that investment. But frankly, we expect that investment to be tens of thousands of dollars. It does not make any sense for us to go out and invest tens of thousands of dollars and then have the same type of comments, well, it's not good enough. Now we want concrete. Well, now we're going back and we're doing concrete walls. I mean, what we're trying to get to is a bottom line that we can have an amended conditional use permit that we can both agree to and say, okay, we're going to build this type of enclosure. It's going to use this type of sound suppression characteristics, you know, and then, you know, we have to agree that that's going to be enough. Now, we're happy to, you know, I mean, we haven't talked to Kodiak, but we'd be happy to bring them to the next meeting, and you can ask them specifically about what that is. I don't want to push this off to another meeting, but I also don't want to, you know, suggest to my clients that they, you know, invest $50,000 or $60,000 into building enclosures that somebody says later on, well, I can still hear it. You know, I think that no matter what it is, you're going to have a certain segment of the community who's going to feel like they can still hear it, they can, you know, that it's still an issue. And we're just not going to be able to objectively satisfy everybody. So what we're trying to do, once again, is we're trying to find that standard, agree on what that standard is, agree on what corrective action needs to be done. You know, and I apologize if I said knee-jerk. I know that you didn't mean it to be knee-jerk, just, you know, consider that from the standpoint of the people who are receiving it, that we thought we were coming to a meeting to talk about a proposal, and now all of a sudden it looks like what's on the floor is, well, let's just put them out of business and send this to a judge and let the judge resolve it. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if that's what we have to do, I guess that's what we have to do, but, you know, I think it's unlikely that a judge is going to shut the plant down until, you know, until a hearing can take place on whether or not there is a violation of the standard, because that's not something I think a judge would typically do. But nonetheless.
Let me just say, because I said it last time in the time meeting before, that the DEQ jurisdiction is correct, so we don't need to really talk about that. And Scott put up the page I was going to cite from. Good, bad, or indifferent, and I think this is what Chris was alluding to. This is right off the Kirtland application form. So whether a court agrees this is good enough language or not, that's up to the court. So again, I'm not telling you we have a winner or a loser. I'm just telling you that right in the form itself, it says we have placed all loud over 40 decibel equipment inside the building. This was part of the application. It was discussed at the Planning Commission. So that will be the heart of the debate if you want to start lawyering tonight, which I don't think we want to. And I said, when you're balancing, that's the heart of the matter right there. It may not answer your problems later on if the court says bring it inside. But I think we all agree that's the objective standard that was brought before this Planning Commission a year, whatever year that was, 2009, you know, in November of 2009. Is that good enough? Time will tell. So again, we're still at this balancing concept. Is it, in your opinion, better to proceed along the lines of amending the conditional use permit, or are you going to have enough and rely on that condition right there?
So, to clarify, I have a question.
And by the way, I would clarify, your minutes from before talked about equipment, and since that time, I've heard the term, I don't know whose it was, production equipment. I don't know what production equipment is, you know. So, you in your findings should at least make it clear. Your minutes from the decision where you made the findings they were non-compliant, just said all equipment exceeding 40 decibels was not placed inside the building. I don't know if you want to make a distinction or should about production equipment or what equipment so that no one's confused later on. But that's it for going back to 2009. Again, we're not making up new standards and we're not being subjective. Those were the standards then and they remain the same today.
But just so we're clear, that was in the application, that was not in the permit.
Right.
Yes, Mike.
Okay, so we talked about production equipment versus non-production equipment. There was a question about it last time. It really didn't get clarified. And I saw the drawing. If you could scroll up a little bit, Scott, on this. In regards to the paragraph that was just up there, it says all equipment that exceeds 40 decibels we put inside, and that's what Tom's proposal tonight is proposing that we do is to enclose the equipment so that the equipment over 40 decibels is essentially inside. The RSG recommendation was to put a concrete enclosure. An 8-foot wall, an 8-inch thick concrete enclosure has a sound transmission coefficient of 45. The proposal from RSG, or I'm sorry, from Kodiak Group is a sound transmission coefficient of 51. In regards to your question earlier about the construction and what does it mean? These are Owens Corning dense fiberglass acoustic panels, and I talked with Jim Kiefer from the Kodiak Group about this. I'm certainly not a sound engineer, but just to try to answer your question, and Jim could probably answer it a lot better. But he did indicate that the panels would be offset. And in a decoupled fashion, right? Which is another thing that we talked about during our earlier meetings. Okay, so there was a page where I described the process, where there's a bunch of little there's a bunch of little drawings with arrows and dairy. There we go, right? So if you look at that drawing, A, B, C, and D are all outside. Okay, so this is the equipment that's used to manufacture a wood pellet. So A is obviously the forest, right? The harvesting that happens off-site. B is the first step in our process. That's a truck tipper. There's no way for that to be inside. C is the pile of wood chips. Okay, now the pile of wood chips, the what it looks like today was modified in the proposals in 2009 and 2010. D is the front end loader that's putting the material into the bins that go inside the building. Beyond that, the only thing that is not inside is an H, and that is a cyclone. The cyclone has no motor. It has no anything that makes noise. It's a piece of steel that's shaped like a cone. That's outdoors. So of all of the equipment that we identified at the beginning of the proposal, we told you what it takes to manufacture a wood pellet. All of that equipment that makes noise is inside. Now, what is outside are the blowers that are moving the material from one of these pieces of equipment to another. Okay, so we're either pushing the material with positive pressure or pulling the material with a negative pressure. Tom had mentioned during our last meeting, we did not realize that those pieces of equipment were going to exceed 40 decibels. What he's proposed tonight in Proposal 3 is that based on the RSG findings, they've identified which pieces of equipment are over 40 decibels in the 125 and 250 decibel bands. And what we're proposing is that we move forward and enclose those pieces of equipment. So that what you heard in 2009 and what is actualized now are the same thing. That's what we're proposing tonight. So we were asked to bring this proposal tonight, and we brought a proposal tonight. And I hope that we don't throw this proposal aside and go back and implement a recommendation that was 90 days ago that ignores this proposal.
Chair, just one comment. I'm in favor of moving ahead with Proposal 3 because it's an action. What I'm not sure on is locking ourselves into 60 decibels and 55 decibels, which is part of Proposal 3.
So that's the part that I think is going to be hard if you're looking for a legal opinion on these different proposals or how to implement them and so forth.
I agree with Tom. I think, Proposal 3, that 3 months ago we should have been getting ready to enclose that material. Now you've got apparently a company, Kodiak Group, that seems to think that they can do this, and achieve the same results that RSG had proposed. And I'm all in favor of doing that, but I'm not in favor of the other part of Proposal 3, and that is with the A scale limits from Traverse City. First of all, I don't think those are exactly the correct.
They're 5 decibels less.
I don't think, Tom. I don't believe they are. I don't think it's 65 and 60 at residential units for daytime and nighttime. It would be a 5 decibel reduction for pure tone noise.
That wasn't identified.
We know that A scale is not good for measuring low frequency noise. We should be either doing it with an octave band or a C scale measurement. I think it would be good to hire a company to come up with what would be, a good limit that we could modify your conditional use permit with. I'm a little bit concerned about you guys paying the bill and hiring them. There would be a potential bias there. I'd like to see, the city do it, I don't think these people need to come in. I agree with Mike Kossler. I don't think that they need to come in and make a bunch of sound measurements. That what they need to do
is figure out what is a reasonable and fair limit in either octave band or C scale that professionals agree would be a reasonable limit. Either by that's in other people's noise ordinances, or you go to Rutgers University, or you get the best that you can come up with. But we don't want, at least I don't want, Proposal 3 to be locked into the Traverse City A scale noise numbers. But the issue
that I have with that is we have to have a standard by which we mitigate to. Mm-hmm. If we have a sound engineering firm come in and determine what a reasonable standard should be on the octave band scale or on the C scale, it may say that there's nothing we need to do to mitigate equipment because we're no louder when we run as the community is when we're not running.
Well, I don't think that stands.
Hold on, Jeff. What we should do, Madam Chair, is probably comments should be directed through the chair. We've kind of closed public comment and to have dialogue between one planning commission member and the board. So I think we've closed the public comment. You're in board deliberation. If someone wants to make a comment, you can ask the chair and she can elect to address, but it gets hard to.
Okay, gotcha.
Madam Chair, I've got a copy of the Traverse City ordinance and it is 65 and 60 in the residential.
Right. I guess it isn't, but you're just by going.
You're talking to them directly.
Well, yes. may I speak with them since they just passed this piece of paper forward? I'd like to address this piece of paper.
I think your point was just going to be about the pure tone, perhaps.
Yeah, they're already including the pure tone reduction, so it's.
All right.
Okay.
So. We have three proposals that we had 5 minutes to review before the meeting. It's been 90 days so far, but this is what we asked them to come back with, or to bring us a proposal, and they brought us three. I don't feel comfortable picking one tonight. I don't think that's because of we haven't had time to review them. And if we did, I would have wanted more information about the third one before I don't think we're at the point where we're going to choose anything. So I don't know where to go from here.
Well, yeah, and really, I don't know that you're being asked to pick one. What does it mean if, you're picking one? I mean, it's not your...
Yeah.
Plant, and I'm not even sure what it's intended to do. They're proposals, but
good point.
I don't think the Planning Commission is being asked to be bound to pick door number one, door number two, or door number three, and if so, what does that mean? Does that mean you're waiving your rights to proceed against the original conditional use permit? Now that might be something, again, the applicant should answer. What are they asking, reasonably asking this Planning Commission to do tonight with these three proposals?
What we were wanted to get in front of the Planning Commission was three proposals as a template for moving forward. You know, that you either want us to come up with a standard, and then we will modify whatever is necessary to meet the standard. That was proposals one and two. We have to deal with the fact that, every organization has limited resources. We can't just keep coming back and saying, well, it's not good enough. So, that's the thing that scares me more than anything else, is that we just will constantly be putting another patch on top of another patch on top of another patch. As well, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. What we need is a predictable pathway towards a result that's acceptable to the community and to the company. If we're going to invest money in the third proposal, then we want to know that, when we do that, that there's a standard, that we've done the corrective action work, and that we're done, and we've modified the conditional land use permit to accomplish that objective that everyone has agreed to. That's why I said that this is kind of a cart and a horse issue. You know, if you want proposal three, that's the cart first, assuming that we're going to forget about the fact that there's a horse. You know, my suggestion would be this, that, you know, you need more time, and once again, I profusely apologize for the fact that this thing came to you this late. We didn't sit on it. You know, you can look at the dates on this thing. We didn't ask people to produce them late. You know, this was what we gave them to you when we had them to give. That we have one of the representatives from Kodiak here at the next meeting, that in the meantime, in the time between now and January's meeting, that we do whatever we can to try to make sure that the materials are available so that if the Planning Commission is prepared to move forward on Proposal 3 or some modification of Proposal 3, as you know, Mr. McCann has astutely pointed out, you know, that you're not comfortable with just establishing the Traverse City standard, or there's some aspect of that that is disquieting to the Commission, then tell us what it is that will make the Commission and the community satisfied. But it can't be, I can still hear it and I don't like it. You know, that's just not a standard. I don't care how many angry people show up, that is not a standard that we can meet. You know, we need to have something scientific, objective, and measurable and achievable.
Fair.
Yeah. So I guess if you want to take the time to review it, we'll bring somebody from, you know, Kodiak back here at the next meeting with a mindset that if you say yes, Proposal 3 is what you want, then we will try to be prepared to make sure that Proposal 3 is implemented just as quickly as construction will allow it to be implemented.
Hey, I'm not going to rehash what everybody said, but just a couple of comments. You know, you talk about predictability, and you know it goes both ways, and we do have citizens who, for over a year, some two, that have been attending meetings and have been in this exchange and do expect that there would have been resolution. And we've sat here and we've tried to do it. Last month, I do think we were pretty clear. And I think the citizens are telling us what's been proposed is predictable. It's not a solution. It doesn't go back to, we've determined it's not in compliance. And we have tried to, you know, give guidance. But what I think I've just heard you say is that you do expect us tonight to say this is that we want this, this, and this. And if you come back next month, we're locked in. And that's what I just kind of heard. So I, you know, that doesn't sit right with me. And I've tried to be very neutral.
I think what the idea was.
I just want to say
Months ago, and possibly even now, is the desire to work with staff to ultimately bring to you, because you're correct, Gretchen, that there's really nothing for you to just rule on a proposal. The idea would be at some proper forum to ask you to amend the conditional use permit to incorporate the results of either one, two, or three. That's something you can consider. But short of that, yeah, you don't have the authority to be the policeman here for noise. That's why you can't amend a conditional use permit, though.
I just wanted to really understand what I was hearing, and if that wasn't the case, but...
And I apologize. I meant
well,
no offense.
Go, as chair, you should again, you know, because we could do this all night, and, you know...
I don't want to...
Why, they get to talk?
It's the predictability now. There's been nothing. We predicted it would, you know, we'd be fully operating and all of those things in 2008, 9, and 10. And here we are another month later, and this wasn't my expectation based on all of our meetings. So.
Chair.
Again, you don't have to do anything. But you can elect to, do nothing. Again, you don't have to take action tonight. You can act to make your decision final Or you can give some direction to staff, really, to Scott and Mike and myself, if you just have a desire, and that's really more of a editorial decision than it is a formal decision.
Tom, yeah. Quick comment. So my quandary is that if we say World Health Organization 40, if we say 45, if we say 50 on the A scale, we don't know if that can still be heard at the neighbors' houses. I mean, that's our dilemma, is it not?
Correct.
Madam Chairperson, yeah, it seemed, you know, what I would have been comfortable with, these people coming forward this month, would have been, we recognize there's equipment that's outside that's above the 40 decibels. You know, we're going to enclose it. We're going to do that right away as soon as we can do it. And we're interested in modifying the conditional use permit, you know, with some kind of a metric, whether it's C scale or octave measurement, and we're going to hire some acoustic professionals to come up with what would be reasonable and fair in a community. You know, and that's, to me, what we ought to be doing. You know, it seems to me that they should be, you know, since from the time the RSG report came out and understanding what the original permit deliberation said, they should just go ahead and do that. I mean, that's what that, to me, that's what you folks ought to be coming and telling us. But I don't hear that from you. I mean, so.
Madam Chair, can we get our planning director to maybe give some input also? And I know you have a lot, but
based on what I've seen on the proposals, I do believe Proposal 3 is the one that moves in the direction closest to compliance with the original approval. There's a lot of talk about what production equipment was, what was inside, what was outside. I think it was very clear in that approved site plan that they indicated all equipment over 40 decibels. I never heard that word production until Mr. Quant said it in his first representation to this planning commission. So in the real meaning of the word, to me, all equipment meant all equipment they made noise was inside. They admitted that they were incorrect, and you know that was a mistake that they made. Now they're trying to correct that by putting these enclosures around some of the equipment that was identified in the RSG report. My concern, you know, they identified three of those, you know, if those are done and then there's still, you know, a disturbing noise that can be heard. So what the position does that put us in? So I guess I'm a little reluctant to say that that would be an acceptable solution without knowing what the result of those mitigations would be. And like you, I'm a little disappointed in the lateness of the report, but I understand you know, they are working with others producing that, so it puts this planning commission in something of a bind to make a decision based on a limited review of this material.
So on that, the conditional use permit, I guess we didn't clearly identify what the final noise level should be, only that anything over 40 decibels should be enclosed. And if it's enclosed, it still could be contained.
Well, there's exactly how noise is based on the enclosure. So I think, you know, they could enclose it with a little fiberglass shack and then say they need the conditioner to report. So I think going down this road gets to the problem. by putting adequate enclosures around those, you know, most disruptive machines, but making, my fear would be that all of them would be mitigated. You know, if they do three and they find out one of the others that was 38 decibels was also problematic. So, you know, that's my concern. Okay, what would this accomplish?
Or a possibility is that they enclose the three and it really doesn't have a change in the outcome, so maybe the noise is coming from the big building itself. I mean, that's where we're at too. Or is that a false assumption?
I don't know. You know, I have to rely on what RSG indicated with, you know, the machines. And,
okay. Okay. So, as a solution, Chair, can we encourage them wholeheartedly to proceed with Proposal 3 to enclose the three in good faith that they, but we're not going to lock into a decibel range, but we would certainly appreciate them moving forward because that's going to be part of the conditional use anyway. I mean, I would think it's kind of common sense that if they enclose those, it's done in good faith, and it's done to comply with the conditional use permit, and hopefully it solves the solution. I understand what you said. You know, you just can't keep throwing money at the problem without that. I understand that. But is that a way that we can move on to the next month?
I think so. But we don't want to wait 30 days to get a plan to get the Kodiak to design it.
If you're looking at me, I mean, I think Tom's word encourage is the right word. You can't compel them, so encourage is the correct word. Again, you can either do nothing or make the decision final. But if by doing nothing and encouraging them, you can revisit the decision next month or your next meeting if you have one before then.
Is it fair to ask if they were encouraging them, would they be willing to break ground and start with some of this noise suppressing foam?
Does the chair want them to answer that?
I don't know if they're willing to do it. The chair should ask.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to respond. Since day one that we recognized those noise or sound emitting from our facility, we have been very open, very transparent, very aggressive in terms of addressing it, even without the benefits of scientific support in terms of our endeavor to resolve. We certainly welcome and appreciate it. And I may add that we were in sound mitigation action within 30 days after becoming aware of the situation. Unfortunately, the non-scientific approach that we undertook did not bring about the desired results, and we used the community audio abilities feature to determine whether, in fact, the sound that they heard was acceptable or not. And in doing so, we took their feedback, even though it was uneven feedback and inconsistent feedback, with some citizens saying it's much lower, and some people saying it's louder than I've ever heard. Again, went back towards trying to get feedback to address it. Clearly, that approach would not bring about a uniform 100% conclusion that would make everyone satisfied. Fortunately, the city, recognizing our dilemma, thought there was value in pursuing, through the services of an RSG, a more thorough analysis to give us guidelines and a direction for it, which we certainly appreciated. we were in no activity levels towards resolution because we were waiting for this study to complete itself. The study went through a number of starts and stops before there was a start. We were not mitigating because we had no specifics on how to mitigate and what to mitigate. Yet we were on the clock, so to speak. Since that period of time, we engaged the city. Of course, the RSP study included with recommendations that, in their best judgment, would address those pieces of equipment they believe, based on their study, could resolve the matter. They were unable, and we understood that because it was on their scope of work, to specify the piece of equipment and specifically design the engineering solution to that problem. We find ourselves in a situation whereby we are asked to act towards a goal, but the goal is not defined, and that's troubling. If you're looking for a resolution or the goal to be a 100% citizen support for the outcome, I'm not certain it's achievable. If you're saying 75% is a better number, I'm not certain what process you will use to determine whether, in fact, you have 75% of the citizens who believe they're involved in this, satisfied or non-satisfied. So it becomes, for us, a potentially no-win situation, because if there is some work done, if there's some mitigation, I have no confidence that may satisfy the citizens to a level that you believe is acceptable. And I just don't know how to get there. And again, we were looking for some input from the commission in terms of what standards you're looking for us to work towards, so we can, in fact, direct to our source or our experts the goal, and they could help us work to that goal. But if there's no clarity as to what that goal is, then we may be on a journey that has no end. And that's troubling.
I'd like to make a comment, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
And I appreciate that, and I agree with that, but on the reverse of that, you're asking us tonight to set a city ordinance scale. You're saying, give us a goal of 40, or 45, or 50, or 60, and I don't think tonight we can do that. I don't think that, I mean, you can't say we're going to reach this goal. What I said a month ago, what I said a year ago, I want to be able to go to house A, B, C, D, and E and not hear it. So, that's tough. I understand your dilemma. I hope you appreciate ours.
If I can respond.
Again, I think the whole crowd's going to want to be responding as well. So, I mean, it still should come through the chair. And I'm not sure how productive we're getting. I think Tom's point is well taken. You don't have the authority to do an ordinance change tonight. I think your direction is clear. You can make the decision final, or you can just elect to do nothing. You can encourage them to go in one of these directions. Which again may lead the owner to seek with staff to submit an amended conditional use permit. But tonight's probably not the night to debate the pros and cons of 1, 2, and 3, other than encouraging them to seek 1, 2, or 3.
I have a question just regarding, that the application for the use permit when the 40 decibel number was being submitted. Would there be strong enough evidence to say, because that was in the application, which was used to approve that conditional use permit, this idea of 40 decibel equipment being encased, could you make the logical step to say, therefore, the sound at the edge of that property should be 40 decibels or lower?
That's kind of micromanaging, you know, when you're in court. It was up there before to what this standard was, and and the applicant keeps pointing out that was not part of the application or it was in their proposal. It is what it is. It was in their proposal, and that would be what the court would be considering.
I'm just trying to think what is the best way.
I'm not a sound engineer, but I think if you have five pieces of equipment, they're all running at the same time, they're all 40 decibels, it's going to be louder than 40 decibels, but I don't know what that escalates to.
That's the reason of my question.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd look at it more that they said it was going to be inside, and whether a court says, go put it inside. And I've said it before, does that answer your problem? I don't know.
And so you're saying 50-50, or are you...
No, I'm not giving you a percentage.
No, I mean, on what you're...
As I said, nothing has changed from the last meeting and the prior meeting and the prior meeting. From the legal perspective, they brought you new information. They'd like you not to make the decision final. It forces their hand, and that's really what you ultimately have before you tonight. Do you want to make it final, or do you not want to make it final? And you know, do you want to give them a little more time, or do you not?
And you wouldn't say one way or the other if we're in a better position to encourage or make it final?
One gets at the heart of the condition of the application that just said it was going to be inside, and the other addresses what I've learned is the C scale, this low frequency problem. That's not addressed in the application. It doesn't say anything about the C scale. So if you're asking me, will it solve the low frequency noise problem? No, it probably won't. But that's not a legal question, you know, that's an observation.
Yeah. Well,
and I need to, Madam Chair, and I talked,
thank you for
I kind of need,
over.
I have a prior conflict. I hate to bow out, I mean, are there any more questions from me from the Planning Commission?
Madam Chair, to Jim a little bit. Can I address what he just said? Slightly.
Okay.
Yeah. You said that might not solve the noise problem, but I think what they're saying is that this construction that they're talking about with this fiberglass panel has a sound coefficients that were equal to or better than what was in the RSG report, and RSG felt that it would resolve the problem in the
correct. I'm taking it from a purely, it's real simple. The planning, you as a planning commission years ago said, put any equipment that exceeds 40 decibels indoors.
Right.
Period. You're right. I'm not commenting on RSG's opinions or anyone else's opinions.
But I think it would solve a lot of the problem if they enclosed that equipment. I just don't know why they just don't go ahead and do it. Because it get it done.
Thank you. You may be excused.
Is there any other planning commission?
Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So we have two options this evening, right?
Well, I wrote down four. No action is one. Another one is to take action to make it final. The final determination. One would be to direct staff to do something. And another one would be to, what Tom had started to do earlier, encourage the applicant to, or encourage to take some action. Encourage Kirkland to take some action. None of which would actually be a motion, other than if you want to make it final.
I'd be willing to throw a motion on the floor, and I want to first throw out the thoughts. So this isn't my final motion, but I would encourage Kirtland to start construction of enclosing with sound abatement the outside machinery as soon as possible, with the production schedule, with the construction schedule being published. I would encourage Kirtland to work with staff on the three proposals to analyze the direction of all three proposals and which would best fit our needs. I guess that's it. So those concepts are, I would be willing to make into a motion. If you want to discuss that and improve the motion, I'd be willing.
I don't know if you need that in a motion form.
I would prefer a motion from the standpoint that last they came to us and said, well, we weren't sure from last minutes. So for clarification, I guess I would prefer a motion.
In your motion, Tom, just Tom.
Yes.
I would like to see Kirtland, come to the next meeting with or without Kodiak, with and be able to say they have a design for the building. And we're going to go through, we're going to proceed with the building, and the construction phase will last this long. And if it's going to take 6 weeks or 2 months to construct a building, I don't know if it's going to be constructed.
When you said building, were you referring
to the enclosure?
Okay.
Of the equipment that's above 40 decibels.
Which was proposal 3.
Which was half of proposal 3.
Half of proposal 3. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll speak with Tom.
Go ahead, jump in.
Sure.
If we do ever have a measure possible, that it may make construction a little difficult, so things can get held up if we go your route. I don't know if we're going to have winter. Remember what they could have been like at one time.
Yes.
Back in the old days.
Well, it's
sandy soil.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So,
of course, you can always just throw down bales of straw if you get going on it right now, and you won't have frozen ground at all.
They can build a tent. I mean, that's mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
then.
So, you're encouraging the enclosure, but you want it amended to say that by next month they come back with the design on the enclosure, the materials, and what the abatement's going to be, the standard.
And a design and a construction schedule. We just don't want to keep putting it off, down the pike. They want to do the building so that they'd be more in compliance with the original application. Great. And I want to see them come back and say, we're going to do the building, and we've had Kodiak Group design it, and this is what the construction schedule is going to be.
Chair, my only problem with that would be, what if they want to start before the next 4 weeks?
we encourage them to do that.
Okay. I mean, but you're saying to come back to show us the construction plan and schedule.
Yeah.
What if they've already poured fittings and started?
I'll work with staff.
This does say it takes 4 weeks for design.
Okay, 4 weeks for design. Okay.
Just so I'm clear, your proposal for the three enclosures, those are for the first one here, the cooler fan model FC19, is that correct?
Enclosures.
No.
Okay,
so that's not one of them?
No.
Okay. This one here, the
yes.
bag house fan?
Yeah.
That
one and the 242s.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so we do have one that's
at
40 that they're not proposing to close.
Yep.
And this is an enclosure already. They need to rebuild.
It needs to be redone. That's
okay.
Correct.
It's so long ago.
Yeah.
So is that in the form of a motion? Design for enclosure with timeline and discussion with staff on the three proposals.
Yes, and I guess encourage construction as soon as possible.
Okay.
With design and construction schedule to be presented to staff and or us, whichever is first. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we need
to hold it up. If they have a plan they want to go on, I don't want to wait.
That's my point, yeah.
If they have to come in and talk to Scott, and Scott says this is acceptable based on...
I
want to make sure it's what you understand.
Yeah.
I mean, we're happy to carry out, but I want to be very clear on what your direction is.
Okay.
I think what the motion does is... It's a compromise between both of us. Proposal 3 was theirs, and it's addressing the conditional use permit, and it's addressing our need that something needs to be done quickly, and that would be a logical choice to do the most obvious first and close the outside machinery. What it's not addressing, Scott, is an ordinance stating that so many decibels are what we're aiming for, because that I don't think, as you stated, we can't do an ordinance tonight or next. I mean, it takes 6 months to do an ordinance.
Even to set a decibel standard for them, and then down the road, if you do contemplate some citywide ordinance, it may not jive with what you think. So, you know, you don't want to establish something that would be specific for them, and then everyone else would be under this different standard. So that's why I would be hesitant to establish a decibel level.
Yeah, we don't want to establish a decibel.
But should that be stated in the motion somehow that decibel levels at this point are not going to be addressed?
No, I don't know.
We just said discussion with staff.
On discussion with that, I think we're going in the right direction on trying to be very specific on mitigating the noise in a certain manner by a certain time. So I think the motion, I'm in agreement with that idea. I'm still debating if the pros and cons of us making it final, and it's not final, in making a motion to, I'm wondering what is best for the community in trying to get this addressed in the most timely manner. Our council is on, going both ways. You know, there's not a clear answer to that, which is very difficult. So that's where I'm stuck. I mean, even
with my desire to improve the situation as quickly as possible, my thinking was, let's make it a final finding that they're not in compliance. However, would that work out for the community in the best manner? Even though that sounds good, and I would have no problem doing that, I want the applicant to be successful. I want the community to be successful. Community comes first. So that's where I'm just sharing my thoughts on whether I support that motion or make a motion to make this non-compliance final. But we know that it's not final. It would be my desire to be an instigator to get things done more quickly. I don't know.
I don't either.
I guess, Madam Chair, we can make a motion to encourage, but boy, we come back next month and, you know, what are we looking for? What kind of measures are we putting on ourselves to make a decision, for example, next month? If we encourage a plan, and then, you know, we have discussions, maybe they'll start beforehand. Maybe. Should we kind of really think about, okay, what do we want to see next month? And if we do, we'll follow this way. If we don't see it, we're going to go here, you know? Can we, or would it behoove us to kind of project out for that next month or two? Weighing this idea of just an encouraging motion versus something that would definitely have more substance, well, not so much more substance, that would be more definitive in making a finding that it's not compliant.
Well, if no movement is made, next month's decision is pretty easy to me.
You don't want yourself into any course of
action. That's what I'm grabbing from. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But part of the motion too, Chris, I guess, would be discussion with staff. And I do think staff and Kirtland has been communicating and working well over the 3 years. Not as fast as the community wants and not as fast as we want, but I do appreciate the communication. The give and take.
No, I know.
Madam Chair, should we get input from the applicant on their receptivity?
We've heard a lot from them today, and it's time to make our decision.
Okay, so then.
No offense.
There's a motion, but there hasn't been a second.
Well, it was just a thoughts and discussion placing one, so.
So, does someone want to officially make that motion?
Are we ready? I'll make a motion that we encourage Kirtland to start design construction of enclosures around the three machines identified. Part two would be that staff and Kirtland work closely on the three proposals. And that's it, unless we say. And number three, in 1 month, that comes back. What do we want in 1 month? It comes back to us.
The design, the timeline, and the staff report.
Unless construction, yes, with the wording in there somehow, if construction indeed does start in the next 4 weeks, so.
That would be a bonus.
That would be a bonus.
I'd second that motion.
Any further discussion?
She's ready.
Need Hammer?
Yes.
St. Dennis?
No.
Crum?
No.
Elwinger?
Yes.
Fraz?
Yes.
McKenzie?
Yes.
McCann?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motion carries.
Thank you.
You want to do landscape plan? No.
So we do still have the landscape plan.
Do you want to discuss the landscape plan tonight, or put it off again? Looked a lot better this landscape plan, didn't it?
Madam Chair.
What's that?
Yes, sir.
There's very little that's going to happen in the next 30 days in regards to execution of that landscape plan, so I would say not any further behind by waiting another month to discuss it.
Can I have a motion to table the landscape plan for another 30 days? Or
postpone.
Postpone, okay.
Could I ask a question, John? Why he thinks that it might be uneven? I mean, they're seriously postpone.
Postponing was my idea.
Right.
They can discuss it if you want.
I didn't know the city planted trees in front of my very much too early a few weeks ago. But it would be. I'm just curious.
It was me.
Okay.
I've been
here.
So it's just like you have.
Anyway, no, that's all right. I like to look at things a little bit more than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Well, you had the landscape plan longer, didn't we?
No, we just got to do it.
Okay.
Not really.
All right.
I kind of like to see him on top.
Okay. Do we need a motion?
I would make a motion.
I'll make a motion to postpone.
For the next meeting? Yes.
So we have a motion to postpone the landscape plan for review at the next meeting.
I'll give you a second.
Yeah, we got one down.
You got a second
down
there.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. So the next item is 6B, the Water Street Center Plan Amendment. And once again, I'm not sitting.
Madam Chair, please quick. Or until the
next. Mr. Gretchen.
You may.
Thank you so much.
Make it quick.
All right.
Quick. Did you know your meeting started at 7? Your meeting started at 7.
I was thinking maybe we could have. That. That's okay. I like the discussion. Very, very. Well done.
Turn it the other way, please.
Sure. Just fine. Is this what you're thinking? Something like that?
Yes, I won't even vote.
Well, just to help you out, I do have both Michigan State and Michigan flags at the house.
Yeah, I know. I've seen them, but yeah. I know how that rolls. You can't pick one over the other.
Well, my daughter's going to Michigan. My son's going to go to Michigan State, so.
Gotcha. All right. Resume the meeting. Start with Scott, your report.
As you may recall, I believe it was in October, Mr. Rudell came. At that time, it was a request to amend the Water Street Center site plan to subtract or reconfigure that lot and parcel off the 20 by 165 parking area adjacent to his building, and that would run behind Water Street Market and Lake Street Market and American Legion. You can see this area right here. And I knew that it would require amendments to that site plan. At that time, he didn't have a proposal for his building, and the Planning Commission wanted to see some specific plans for his building and the disposition of that property once it was reconfigured. Mr. Gazelle has submitted a site plan amendment for his building, which would add two more apartment buildings, making it a total of 5 units in there with, was it 3 one-bedrooms?
4 2.
Yeah.
4 2.
Oh, yeah. It was 5, now it's 7.
Correct.
With 4 two-bedroom, 3 one-bedroom. Previously, this plan was approved and received variance from the Zoning Board of Appeals to allow the building to be constructed and have the required 8 parking spaces, and they gave a variance for those 8 spaces. When this was reviewed by the Planning Commission for the addition of the previous plan for the units, it would have required 1 additional parking space for the 9 total, and the Planning Commission waived that 1 space. Now this plan, with the addition of the 2 more units, would bring that total up to 13 required parking spaces for this use in total. By transferring this property, it would give him 14 parking spaces, so he would meet those ordinance requirements. The Water Street Mall obviously would be reduced. It would be reduced from 55 to 41 parking spaces. And as we talked before, when this was approved, how they come up with the required parking for this particular use, I don't have a clear handle on. But looking at in total, it comes out to about 1 space per 175 square feet. Per our ordinance standard, that's a pretty high requirement. Actually, 1 space for 150 square feet is the highest requirement you have, so that's really close. This proposal would reduce that to 1 space per about 222 square feet. And that's right in the ballpark with retail, office kind of uses. Those uses range from 1 space for 200 to 1 space to 350 square feet, depending on what those are. So this, if you look at the Water Street Mall as a total complex, the parking that it would now have would be right in the ballpark with our ordinance standards. So this proposal is in front of you. To approve this, you would need to approve 2 site plan amendments. You'd have to approve a site plan amendment for the Water Street Center, reconfiguring its lot, and then you'd also have to approve a site plan amendment for Mr. Gazelle to add that property and approve the additional units. So, with that all here, you can add any.
Ken,
do
you
want
to?
I think he pretty much said it. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I really don't have anything to add. You guys have the plan, and this is done by Sherm Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. So you have that in front of you, and I think you have that. And then just the building itself and how it's going to look and the room sizes and such. So did you have any questions on any of the information that was given to you?
Maybe before we do that, can I open it to any public comment?
Jim Bonham, Boone Area Chamber. I love the idea of more affordable housing, especially in the downtown area. The only thing I would want you to think about, or maybe after this is done, is to contact some of the neighboring businesses. I've heard a little bit of low-grade grumbling about parking that affects Lake Street Market and Cindy Franco's. Perhaps two-hour parking on some of those spots would rectify that if some of the apartment dwellers are parking on Lake Street and taking up parking that's needed by the adjacent businesses. If there's plenty of parking in the back now, that would be a way to sort of encourage the apartment residents to park in back and not park on the street. Thanks.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Main Street program, Ken gave me some plans, or somewhere a couple weeks ago I had some plans, but this has not been formally reviewed by the design committee of Main Street. It meets monthly. We met last Wednesday or Monday, and I'm not sure the plan was formally submitted at that time, so we really have no input on it.
Okay. Close public and open it up to the board. If you have any questions or.
Well, it sounds to me like Ken picked up one extra space, is what you said, for his tenants. And the number of parking meets the formula. So I don't have any objections to this at all. It's fine for me. Possibly you should hold it somewhere.
No, it's not going to shorten the mall parking.
No.
They should be within code, and the apartments to be able to take some of their parking off of the street.
And if they would encourage your tenants to put it behind it.
I'm going to have signs for apartment 1, apartment 2, apartment 3,
okay.
So they know where to park.
And that should alleviate your concern there, Jim?
Hopefully.
So, I make the motion, Jim. If somebody else has something.
Yeah, one thing I would recommend, perhaps a condition, if you do move forward with approval, to maybe have the basically design committee look at the elevations of the shaft or make any recommendations they have on the design criteria for the shaft.
Was there a motion?
No, it's just, all right. We're just talking.
We're just talking. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm getting old, you talk out loud.
So would that property be designated specifically for parking and then thus wouldn't be buildable in the future?
That was the proposal that was made to me and this commission, was that this would be parking and no other plans for any improvements for that land has been submitted.
Okay. And then on the footprint of this, is the footprint of the building going to take up the whole green box area?
It's an existing building that they're just going to go up.
They're just going up?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, And then the blue area is the garage. That is that attached to the house just south of the alley on the same property description?
That was this house here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes with that.
Okay. And so there's no construction happening there. It's just the existing building going up, same footprint. That's it. Okay. Is there anything that needs to be addressed about the dumpster? I think we briefly talked about a dumpster being placed in the parking area.
I can answer that if you don't direct it to me. Yeah. I don't know how this exactly works.
Yes.
But yeah, well, we're going to. I've talked to the American Legion, and they have a dumpster that's enclosed. And they have agreed to let us and Lake Street Center use their dumpster. And in exchange, I would let them use some parking. So. They're very much very aware of that. In fact, Lake Street Market is currently using their dumpster now, so it's kind of a communal dumpster which is going to work out well for everybody.
Is that currently closed in, the dumpster?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
I don't remember.
I have a question. Am I right in thinking there's a dumpster that's currently sort of behind the green space that is not enclosed?
This one, it doesn't have a top on it. It has four walls.
Okay, but it's not enclosed with a fence of some sort of non-see-through fence.
There's four walls that go around the dumpster.
There are four walls that go around.
Well, three walls
That are not part of the dumpster.
Right. Correct.
Enclosure.
Okay, yeah. There is an enclosure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And this, basically what I'm going to do at that point, is I don't use the dumpster at all, and I would get rid of the dumpster, which would give more parking.
Right. Well, the dumpster is taking up one of the 13 or 14 parking spots
Correct.
At the moment, right?
Yes.
Right.
Where is the American Legion dumpster?
It's built into their building.
Building.
You can't really see it from that photo, but okay. If you look at it, the building's like this. It's in the lower left corner.
So I think Jim Bauman's question, though, that we'd have to encourage the city to put signs up further along Lake Street. Is that what you're looking for, Jim, that says two-hour parking? Not, I think there is right in front of Lake Street Market, there's a sign.
15 minutes
or something.
One spot.
One spot.
Yeah,
but are you looking for two-hour parking, you know,
that's
the street for
a suggestion. Something, you know, perhaps Main Street could make some recommendations on that.
Ultimately something the City Commission would have to...
Probably a good idea, I think. Okay, yeah. City Commission, that's a City Commission
job.
Okay.
And then also, the one City Franco and I... We had the discussion, and it's pretty much solved now.
What do you mean it's solved?
Well, some of the tenants were parking in front of hers.
Oh, I see.
And so I just said, guys, you can't park over there. That solved it.
All right. All right. Thank you. Looks good to me.
Any other? Go ahead,
John. So I'm throwing garbage. Who's four or five cans are those sitting outside your enclosed garbage?
Those are mine.
I say, will those still be sitting outside there? Or?
Well, you know, being winter, I was just talking to my tenants and asking them, there's that garage right there, and I'm thinking about moving them in the garage or possibly over towards where the dumpster is, my American Legion. So I three or four of them are recycled, and one's at the dumpster. Or dumpster, it's... There's five of those containers, and four of them are recycled, and the fifth one is garbage.
Any other questions or discussion, or as I understand it, there has to be two motions to approve?
A motion to amend the Water Street plan and then Water Street, the Coopers Grisell's plan.
Do I have anybody who would entertain a first motion to amend to the development plan for Water Street Center?
I'll make that motion.
Can I have a second? Do we have to do a roll call, or can we?
I would identify the survey from Ferguson Singleton showing the 20 by 165. Piece of property being separated from the Water Street lawn.
Yeah, Mm-hmm.
And with the easement.
Okay. So it's a survey dated the 20th of November 2012.
19th.
That was drawn the 19th. Needhammer.
Yes.
St. Dennis.
Yes.
Crum.
Yes.
Elwinger.
Yes.
Fraz.
Yes.
McCann.
Yes.
Okay. And we also need a motion if you want to approve a site plan amendment to the building. that was approved in 2011. And I just had a quick question, if there's a motion, would this be the time for the dumpster condition and Main Street review?
Yes.
Just saying that to somebody who might want to make a motion. I don't think I can as a chair, can I?
I'll make it down there. Yeah, I'm looking down at you guys.
Oh, I see. I make a motion that we approve this as amended property with the, still like to have Main Street's input on this. Dumpster removal, is that what you told us? Okay. Movement.
I can't hear you.
Oh, okay, no, you heard everything that I wanted.
So we have a motion to amend, to approve a site plan amendment with two conditions, Main Street review and a dumpster removal review. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second.
You're basically approving the addition of two more two-bedroom units, mm-hmm. with a total of
seven
units.
And configuration.
And you're adding a 20 by 165 parking area to the property
that will be designated as parking.
Parking. Mm-hmm. Is that parking for the Casella units?
Correct. Is that what you told us now?
Well, I don't know. He designated it for whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Can he smile?
Well, we didn't have a title.
More discussion?
I guess I have one question. Because it's attached, is there the requirement that he then has to have those parking spaces for this development?
No, it's that property now meets ordinance requirements, and you're approving that. Now, who uses those lots, those parking spaces, is up to Mr. Goodell, but that property has that parking available.
In our designated people, that's where. Are we putting a requirement on how many parking spots this new property has to offer? Is my question.
By ordinance requirements, it's supposed to have 13. He now meets ordinance requirements.
Okay.
Good question. Anybody else?
No, this looks good.
No discussion. We'll go for both. We'll call.
St. Denis.
Yes.
Crum.
Yes.
Hellwanger.
Yes.
Fraz.
Yes.
McCann.
Yes.
Needhammer.
Yes.
Motion passed. Move item 7, new business.
It's not on your agenda, but it should be in your packet. We just put the 2013 calendar in there for your review and consideration. So. If you want, you can adopt this and make changes.
I'll make a motion we adopt the calendar as proposed.
Let's see.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Item 8, staff report.
We did hire, I don't know if I told you this last meeting, but we did hire a assistant planner, Leslie Myers. So her first day is Wednesday. So stop by here. She's a very knowledgeable and a good person. I think we got lucky. I think she'll do a great job.
Is she from this area?
She lives in Bel Air and she's based down in Grand Rapids County, the Whitewater Township. She's been in town for 20 years and she's on the cookies. Over. And that's all I've got for now.
Staff report. Item 9, go to the order. Everybody?
I have one, Madam Chair, and I don't get around to City Hall as much. Have we ever Talking about the snow plow, our snow plow trucks and the city curbs, or public curbs, gutters that we put up, which we've had so much, we love so much, but the plows beat them up. Have we gotten any new equipment or new training for the guys so they're not beating them up? I mean, they got a job to do too, but
I believe Andy,
I think the snow plowing is one of the hardest things I've ever done because you can't see what the heck you're hitting. You know, and I know you got stakes up all around, but we beat the heck out of them with the plows.
Yeah, that was a much talked about topic at the staff level and the city commission. And I do believe that Andy is investigating blades that are made of more like a hard plastic material that's easier on the curbs. I don't know if it's on there or not. I can ask him in the back and see. But yeah, it's something that, you know, they spent $40,000 fixing curbs this last year.
Yeah, well, I know they ripped the ones up in front of my house. Well, I mean, and
yeah, I know.
Very cognizant of that fact.
Almost out of all the ones on the whole town.
To limit the amount of impact.
Yeah. Okay. You know, smaller pieces of equipment to hit the edges or whatever. I don't know. I'm not. The reason why I'm not snow plowing.
Any other items that go to the order?
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Motion to adjourn? Anybody?
So moved.
Second to adjourn?
Second.
All right. So moved. Thank you.